You are listening to episode number 120 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look way down the river, and what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down.
Welcome to episode number 120, yes, 120 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. As always, and forever, will be your host, Iggy, a.k.a. Ben. Joining me tonight, the man who believes both men are wrong in AVX, Mr. Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
Scott Summers is a fascist militant, and he's getting exactly what he deserves. And you people that agree with him.
And of course, the man who is going to be cosplaying this weekend at New York Comic Con, Mr. Arnold. Arnold, welcome to the show.
Because he's sexy and he knows it. I've seen the costume. Thumbs up.
Thanks.
At least I've seen part of it anyway.
Well, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a weekly Marvel podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, whether it's comics, videos, TV shows. Comics, movies, TV, video games, and much, much more. Let's get right into it with some more Marvel movie-related news. As it seems, we have a rumored actress for the role of Miss Marvel, a.k.a. Carol Danvers. The rumor is she's going to be showing up in Avengers 2.
Woohoo!
And apparently, the two actresses that have been named will be... Ruth Wilson and Emily Blunt, who's the only name I recognize is Emily Blunt, and where I can't exactly remember where I recognize her name from. And I know it's in a movie, possibly a TV show, and I know I've seen her in some commercials. But when I look at both these actresses, I don't see Carol right off the top of my head.
Thank you.
I'm not going to say anything acting-wise because... That's always a to-be-determined thing, but in just terms of sheer first appearance, first impressions, I don't see Carol Danvers out of any of them. You know, I'm not saying they can't pull it off, but I would have picked somebody different. Samely, some of the picks that we talked about like several episodes ago where we were debating who should play Miss Marvel, you know, maybe they should really name it to just call it Captain Marvel if they did a Miss Marvel movie, you know. But, I hope the rumor is true that she is going to just show. She is actually going to have a role in Avengers 2, and not just be, just Carol Danvers, but actually Miss Marvel shows up. That'd be pretty cool, in her old school 70s costume with the scarf and the, you know.
You mean the red?
Yeah, the red.
The more red.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be bad.
I love that costume.
I'd rather see that than the bathing suit. As much as I lust after the bathing suit one,
her Warbird costume with the stuff around.
A special effect Aladdin costume, which I wouldn't mind seeing, but I would be kind of fearful for, you know, them pulling a Green Lantern on it and, you know, giving it the movie artistic twist.
Yeah, I don't think we'll get binary anytime soon, that's for sure. But, I mean, not much for us to say on this, but none of those two actresses, all respect to them. They're Emily Blunt especially is really gorgeous. I don't see Carol in them. But it's a long way away from Avengers 2, and a lot can change, but... My only opinion is there's really nothing about them that says Carol Danvers. It's the Carol Danvers that I would like to see portrayed on the big screen. Taser, I think you pretty much share my agreement on this.
Yeah. Emily Blunt hasn't done anything that I've seen. I wanted to see the Adjustment Bureau, but I never got to. You know, I failed to get there, and even though it's been available online for me anyway, I still haven't done so yet. So I can't, you know, like you, I cannot judge her acting. But looking at her, I'm like, huh? Dwah. Her pick simply based upon her visage, that escapes me. This, I mean, and let's be real. We all know that, you know, they pick you because, well, you know, somebody's trying to be a star. The studio wants to use this person. So, yeah, let's just toss a blonde wig at them and, you know, hope for the best. She might be able to pull it out, you know, because her name gets tossed around all over the effing place. Oh, she's so cute and she's this, dead, whatever the fuck. But I'm not seeing it, you know, and I hope I'm wrong because I would like to see. I would like to see Ms. Marvel come out and be Captain Marvel. Screw Ms. Marvel. I would love for her to be the first Captain Marvel on screen. And it's the female Marvel. I'd love that. I would applaud it. Not because it would be good for, you know, feminist issues and all the rest of that bullshit, but because it's not some white guy. That's right, I'm saying it. Diversity. It's a white chick, and I'm a black man. Woo! Anyway.
You want some diversity up in this piece.
I want some white women on screen that I can lust after. But I digress.
Ruth Wilson from the other South, hand, that's the thing.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. You know, I'm a dichotomy. I'm a strange guy. And dichotomy doesn't fit what I'm using anyway, so screw it. Anyway, Ruth Wilson, the same thing, and I haven't seen anything with this chick. They're both Brits. I've at least heard of Emily Blunt. I've never heard of her, and she hasn't done anything that I would have caught. And that's where we're at, you know. I hope that whichever one of them, you know, gets it, that they, you know, that they bang it out and they do a respectable job. I fervently hope that, because I would like to, you know, see a kick-ass Captain Marvel on screen. But, you know, you never know. Is she supposed to play Carol Danvers, or is she playing Ms. Marvel?
The rumor I think states it in. It's never really clear.
That can make all the difference.
Yeah, it's but either they, A, she's
you know,
playing
it's gotta be. Yeah, she's got to be playing Ms. Marvel, because they wouldn't have made a big deal about it, about her just playing Carol Danvers.
No. If it was an Easter egg, that's one thing, but they wouldn't announce it in the press or go after an actress's whose name, at least Emily Blunt's name. So
she's going to be playing Ms. Marvel. So. Whichever one of them gets picked, they're going
to
be playing Ms. Marvel.
Which ties
so I hope
Thanos,
they bang it out.
The Kree, and, which ties in the whole Captain
and
Marvel.
I want them to name her Captain Marvel. Seriously, I just want that to happen. Please let it happen.
We'll have to see when the movie. Arnold, what do you think about these? I'm pretty sure you know Emily Blunt.
You guys, there's sentiments go up quite a bit. I haven't seen enough stuff with either one of these actresses in them to judge their ability to play the character, and just from their faces, they're not what I see as Carol Danvers. I would say like they're too soft in the face. They don't look, I don't want to say they don't look tough enough. I mean, if you
stern
pull it
don't
off, yeah, they don't have, you know, Carol Danvers, while she's very, very pretty, she's also, when she lays down the law and is authoritative, you fucking stand up and listen. And just
quite
off of visual, just looking at the pictures of the girl, at least the ones that they picked in the news release, that I don't get that sense of feel like people would, you know, listen to her or, you know, even acknowledge that she's the person in charge of taking charge. Interesting casting rumors, that's what it is, it's rumors, and I'm sure we'll hear a bunch of rumors as they come along, but I wouldn't mind seeing Ms. Marvel in it at all. If they put it in, I think costume-wise, they would do something closer to her current Captain Marvel outfit, as opposed to the pretty much almost non-existent thong costume, which I doubt they'll get away with. But you never know. I just don't see it happening. So
no,
you might
the feminists will be like, you can't put her in that
costume. You know, maybe not in complete personality kind of deal. But cool. Hey, awesome.
Female empowerment, whatever. I respect women. I don't like crazy women. There you go.
I respect women too. That's why I tuck the dollar bill in the G-string, not throw it at them.
Nice.
All right. Well, speaking of more casting decisions, apparently we have 5 actresses up for a role in Captain America: Winter Soldier. The actresses' names will be Emilia Clarke, who apparently is from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Jessica Brown, Findlay, who is from Downton Abbey. Teresa Palmer, who's from Warm Bodies. Imogen Poots, it's spelled P-O-O-T-S, from Knights of Cups. And Alison Brie, the 5-year engagement, which I saw. It's a very, very funny movie. It doesn't say if they're playing Sharon Carter or not. It's just that they are the actresses up. I would think these are the actresses that are going to be – one of them is going to be playing Sharon Carter. I would think – does anybody know if any of them are British?
I don't think Emilia Clarke is British.
Okay. No, because I figured if it's going to be Sharon, either A, they're going to make her American, you know, Peggy just happened to come over to the States, or make her – British, like Peggy was. I don't know. And also, it appears that Scarlett Johansson's gonna have a slight a role in the Captain America: Winter Soldier, which to me makes sense. I think that's what we're all saying. It's like S.H.I.E.L.D. should have a presence in the Captain America movie, some fashion.
But, and they've also mentioned that out of all of the movies, Captain America is the one that's picking up closest to where Avengers left off.
Yeah.
It's the only one that's going to be making references to it, essentially.
Yeah. Oh, so you mean it won't be Iron Man, 2.7? Like Avengers was Iron Man 2.5?
I guess.
I'm happy. That's a good thing in my book.
I mean, considering, I'm pretty sure Steve works for S.H.I.E.L.D., or at least he supports
In the
S.H.I.E.L.D.
movie, he will.
Yeah, in the movie. But even when they were the one who found him, I'm pretty sure they hooked him up with that, with like his stuff. So he probably owes the debt. So it makes sense for S.H.I.E.L.D. to be part of it. I don't know enough about these actresses, again, with the casting before, to say whether what roles are going to play. Maybe it's not Sharon Carter. Maybe it's Bernie. Like I hope it is.
Bernie Rosenthal!
It makes it hard to have any kind of judgment on the names coming up, because knowing who you're thinking of for a role is all well and good, but we don't know who you're picking them for, so we can't say if they're good or not.
Exactly.
Amelia Clarke is great for the role that she plays in Game of Thrones, but it doesn't mean she'll be great for whoever this female is that they're trying to cast. So
exactly.
And they're like, oh, good.
It could be a villain for all we know.
Yeah. Huh?
It could be Madame Viper or something.
Red Skull's daughter.
No, if they're going to cast a female villain, it better be Madame Viper.
No, it could be Mother Superior.
I want Madame Viper. Or just Viper with the green, the luscious green hair and all sexy. I love Viper. She's so evil. She would make me turn evil.
It was a good TV show.
You have anything to say about this? Because I really, like Arnold said, it's really hard to make a call on something where you can't see the play.
I'm good.
Well, we do that all the time.
Yeah. I'm sure they're very pretty, and I'm sure they're going to look great on big screen, and I'm pretty sure one of them is going to be lucky enough to make out with Chris Evans, but we won't know that until, I don't know, next year maybe, a couple months, which is only a couple more months till 2013 starts. But, I got nothing more.
Yeah, I didn't recognize any of those names either. I mean, Emily Blunt, I had at least heard of because her name pops up in, bullshit this online, bullshit that online every now and again. Ruth Wilson, had never heard of. None of those names rang a bell. So, again, the same thing here. I hope whoever they picked, they're capable of getting the job done. A thumbs up. And maybe we'll see some skin. You know, other than that, I got nothing.
Not in a Captain America movie.
Hey, look, we can have boobies in a Captain America movie. Boobies is all America's about. Boobies and tits. And drugs.
All right, well, let's move on to one that's probably going to generate the most conversation between us, which is the announcement of what the MO of the new Avengers book. Now, we all know that Jonathan Hickman, starting this December, will be launching Avengers with Jerome Pena, which will be twice a month at $3.99 and basically feature a huge-ass roster, which I, not going to lie, kind of looking, at least wanting to try. Not want to commit, but want to try. Yeah. Sort of like sexual experimentation in college. You want to try it, and if it goes badly, you just want to forget about it. But the other thing that a lot of people, I think, forgot was the fact that he was also going to be taking New Avengers, which I thought, that's kind of weird considering the book's basically been Bendis' excuse to write Jessica Jones and Luke Cage more while telling Avengers stories. And, you know, that's his book. What are you going to do with his book? So it turns out that the new book will be starting in January of 2013, and it's going to be the team of the Illuminati that we've been following since a little right before Civil War started, which will be Iron Man, not Black Panther, but he's going to be part of this book, Reed Richards, Doctor Strange, Black Bolt, the recently former controlled Phoenix Avatar, Namor, and replacing the role of the deceased Charles Xavier, Beast. So basically, this book's going to focus around the Illuminati, and it looks like, based on the two covers, the cover we got, it's going to be dealing with the Infinity Gems, which is kind of interesting. And of course, he mentioned that Carol Danvers is going to be a lieutenant under Captain America in terms of the Avengers, so she's like second or third in command. But the bigger question is, why the fuck are they putting Namor and Black Panther on a team together? You know,
because it's dysfunctional.
Not even that. Because not even before that. Because what people, I want to refresh people's memories, is the fact that when they first formed the Illuminati, when we first saw the formation of this group, because they're not a team, they're just a group of highly smart individuals or rulers of nations coming together to stop
Tony Stark.
Well, he's smart.
Okay.
He's really, I said either intelligent or ruler of nations.
Or
ruler of nations. And Black Panther said, "You have no business doing this. You have no right to do this." And he left. He walked out. Now, the only reason before the fucking Namor killing half of his people that I could see him being there is simply because he wants to keep an eye on these guys, considering how fucked up everything has gotten, because they wanted to hide their dirty little secrets. Hulk, the Hood getting a hold of the Infinity Gems, despite that could have gone a lot worse than it did. You know, so that's the only thing I have with it. And of course, notice who's not there? Mr. Steve Rogers, who supposedly was a member of this Illuminati. Why is he not here? Or if he's there, I didn't read the interview clearly enough. But, so does that mean Tony Stark is going to be back to hiding things? Or, you know, are they going to go back to hiding things from Steve, the big top cop in America? You know, what's going on? I will say this, though, in terms of Jonathan Hickman as a writer, him writing a bunch of, you know, secret Illuminati people trying to manipulate the scenes from behind, that's pretty much his wheelhouse and what he does. So I want to at least see where he's going to go with it before I condemn the series. I don't want to condemn it, but it's interesting. And the fact that it's, from a monetary standpoint, apparently going to be $3.99, shipped double twice for the first month only. The second issue will drop down to $2.99, and it will be a monthly ongoing book for the remainder of 2013. We'll see how long that lasts. So they're dropping the price for New Avengers down to $2.99. I don't understand it, but it has me very much not excited for the book, but very intrigued. I'm like, how the fuck are you going to make this work? Considering the first thing Black Panther should do is want to rip Namor's throat out. And Black Bolt. You know, obviously he was a member last time, but I'm not, like, is he cool with some of the things that has been going on? I don't know what's been going on with Black Bolt ever since they mysteriously brought him back from the dead.
He hasn't even been on Earth as far as I know.
Not for a really long time.
Yeah. He's freaking head of the Shi'ar Kree melange. You know, he hasn't been back to Earth. He's king shit. I mean, seriously, king shit. So I don't know. I don't think he.
And of course, Doc Strange is being there. And of course, I think if they're going to have any X or any mutant replace Charles, it's Beast was the logical one.
Why not Cyclops?
Fuck that guy.
Kill him, he takes his place.
I don't think any of these guys like each other. I know Namor doesn't like anybody. I'm pretty sure Black Panther doesn't like Namor. Beast doesn't like Tony Stark or Namor or any of these. I'm pretty sure every one of these guys hate each other in one form or another.
Why not Beast and Tony? Just one of they on the outs.
I don't think like on the outs, but I think he doesn't trust him all the way.
Where's Xavier's Infinity Gem?
I said that first on the board.
No, you did. I had the same thought. You totally beat me to posting it. I have no problem.
I remember
quest for Xavier's gem.
I really
hope it's something that isn't just glossed over. Like, oh, he knew he might die or something. So he just told me about it. You know?
I don't think it's gonna be that. I think because I know when the Infinity Gems last showed up, they all had them. But we never knew what Xavier did with it after they solved the hood problem.
Right.
He put it back in mind thing that he had it before.
Well, he had it in that danger room simulation beforehand.
Yeah, that thing.
We don't know what he did after. Yeah. That's the mystery.
Right.
So
maybe he pulled a Cartman and, you know, kept it in his ass.
He fucking should have pulled that shit out when fighting the Phoenix.
Yeah, they better not just gloss over that. That's a pretty important fucking anecdote. And judging by the design of the cover, it looks like we might be dealing with that. Just the way, like, all with the two fingers all intertwining and with what looks like.
And this is Hickman, right? Yeah. Hickman's the guy who brought back Black Bolt because he wanted to and didn't really explain it. He just had him wake up.
Are you sure it was him or was it Marvel editorial? No, you have to do it here.
I think if Hickman, you know, Hickman wanted to bring him back, he wanted to use him for a story. He didn't want to go into a whole thing of, well, how the fuck could he have survived that when he was at ground zero of the big explosion that was Vulcan? And he didn't bother with any of that. He just had him wake up and go, oh, it's time to go home. So, yeah, I blame the writer. I'll blame the team. I blame the creative team, but the writer's the one who, you know, fleshed it out, so to speak, gave it words. So, yeah.
I do like the Omega symbol, though. I do like that.
I'm like you guys. I want to see what happens when you put Black Panther and Namor in a room together. You know? First of all, I want to see what happens when Namor comes on land and isn't immediately arrested by, you know, Beast. Because, you know, I think he should probably have some form of legal justification for putting his ass in chains, you know. And T'Challa is a diplomat as well as the sovereign of a nation. So, yeah, I think he might be able to do something like that, too, on some level. But I want to see how that doesn't happen. So I will say that at least until that gets resolved, I'll probably pick up the book. After that, it there's no guarantees. That's all I can say.
It's going to be interesting, though. Well, considering they should have arrested Namor after when Bendis had them meet the first time, considering what he did. But he didn't do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing is about the Illuminati is what I understand. It's sort of like a very broken brotherhood. And the fact that these guys reluctantly get together now, considering how many times they fucked up in the past. I don't know. I am morbidly interested. It's morbidly obese that I want to see this. But like Taser, I make no guarantees past. I'm gonna say issue two. I'm gonna give it at least two issues to say sell me. But yeah,
I can't even say that. I just want to see how that that one dynamic works, and then after that,
you're out. I want Black Panther to put Namor in the sleeper hold and just make
it. Hallelujah. I want him to put Namor in the same hold that he put the Silver Surfer in, you know? I want him to put him in that hold, you know, the one that he held a fucking Herald of Galactus in that he couldn't break. I want that hold. And then I want him to talk dirty bullshit about how his penis looks like a fish fin or some shit. I don't know.
Black Panther's too dignified to do that shit. Maybe he isn't. I don't know.
Or maybe he'll yell at him for causing the breakup of him and his wife. There you go. Yeah, you cost me my pussy. You know, some shit.
Oh,
like
bullshit!
That.
But he did it himself. He could have easily worked it out with Storm. But he didn't.
Storm's a.
Arnold, do you have anything more to say about this?
Nope.
All right. Well, New Avengers number 1, January 2013. Only a few more months away. Okay, there you go. That's all our news for this time. Let's just get right into it. Our book of the week this week is the finale, Avengers vs. X-Men, number 12 of 12. Here we go. I'm going to say it right now. Two things. Number one, I liked it. That I have enjoyed this series, despite to me, maybe it's one or two bumps in the road. I had fun with this. And it's craziness, and it's fun, and just all around enjoyment of the series. I liked it. Cyclops was wrong. You know, he got extremely lucky, the fact that the Phoenix Force did what it did. Although it technically didn't do that by itself. It did it with the combination of both Wanda and Hope working together. So
to set it free.
Yeah.
Okay. Once free, the PF did that.
Yeah, not Cyclops.
Not Cyclops. But the PF, the PF is the one responsible for that, not an act by Wanda and Hope.
They were the ignition to start it up. They said no more Phoenix, and then that allowed it
to go free and then do what it wanted to do.
Otherwise, why did it do it to begin with? Why would they say no more Phoenix then?
Again, we're talking about questionable actions made by characters who, you know, on some levels were acting out of character. So why did this character do?
It's an entity. I mean, it's not a character. I mean, I'm looking at the panel. No more Phoenix.
Well, I'll put it to you this way: do you think Wanda eliminated the Phoenix?
No, you can't eliminate the Phoenix.
Yes, because the Phoenix is immortal.
It's not immortal. It just can't.
Comes back. Can't be killed.
Didn't say that. I'm just saying they didn't. I don't think the Phoenix is gone.
Okay, right.
Its energy just dispersed into creating new mutants, which that was the biggest what the fuck.
Okay.
I didn't see that coming at all.
Really?
No, I didn't, because I don't read previews. I don't read spoilers. I don't read shit.
Neither do I, but. Dude.
I was for sure the status quo was just going to be left under that the mutants
were
Okay. That the Phoenix Force would have been defeated and everything would have been fine. But I literally got like, holy shit, they're actually undoing, pseudo-undoing House of M in a way. So I thought that was a pleasant surprise. I thought the art was great, especially some of the first, those action sequences, like where they have, what is it? That double page spread of like fire everywhere, you see, you know, the Avengers trying to fight Dark Phoenix, because he's not Cyclops at this point, he's just Dark Phoenix.
Dark Cyclops.
But like where Cyclops would uppercut the Hulk in Sydney, and then he falls in Sacramento, or he blasts Thor from the Himalayas, and then he's into space. Like I like shit like that.
Okay, I'm with you there. I like shit like that, but I also had a problem with that because, all right, he fought them all over the world, you know, and I'm looking at this and
He's moving incredibly fast.
Oh no! It's not even so much that. It's just they're playing catch up while he goes over here and he commits acts of devastation, and then he moves on, and then he goes over here, commits acts of devastation, and they catch up and they fight. You know, and it's just that whole all around the world. You know, rock and roll is here to stay, and rock and roll in this case being
volcanoes
popping up in your backyard.
They were trying to fight it with normal conventions, and it didn't work. Like they, you know.
Go ahead.
I did like the, like, even though it's not Richard Rider, but I like the, like, the double pitch spread of Nova coming and tackling Cyclops like that.
And that's the annoying thing about this. He shows up in the first one, and then he comes back in the next one. Like, what the hell happened to him between 1 and 12? Where the fuck was he? This has been going on in regards to Marvel time. This has been going on for a couple of months, if I remember correctly. So, where was this Nova the whole time?
He was the same place all the Iron Fists were the last time. That's where he was.
Also, Jean Grey didn't come back, so everybody was wrong about that.
She did make an appearance, depending on which book you were looking at.
Yeah.
Are you talking about where he's hallucinating, where he hears her voice?
Yeah.
I think he's hallucinating.
Well, he thinks he's hallucinating in AVX 12.
In that where he goes, okay, there's a sequence where he's seeing his memories, like he sees him hanging out with Logan, he sees himself wheeling Professor, he's like, please kill me, and stick it, like what Gene used to say before the Phoenix Sufficient took over. And then he has this, that moment of rage, and then he thinks he sees Jean. I don't think she's there. I think he's just seeing things. It wouldn't be the first time.
Right. Yeah, you're right. But I'll say, from his perspective, that was too third person-y. You know? It didn't... Like, all right, here, look at this bit of dialogue, you know, when he's out there in space and, you know, he's endless boundless and the wall above me is wide and a familiar voice speaks to me through it. It's a whisper, a shout, a choir. Every eternal syllable dances through me. You're an idiot, it says. Tell Logan I love the school's name, it says, as I drift away. I feel like laughing. You know, I mean, and then he gets, you know, cold clocked by Hope. And then he's de-phoenixed. I think in Uncanny, I think there, yeah, he probably was close to, what is it called, the White Room or some bullshit like that? Yeah. I think that really was, you know...
Oh, I didn't read Uncanny. I'm going based off what happened in AVX 12.
Right, in AVX 12, yeah, it really does look like that's coming from him. But in Uncanny, they kind of, you know, so.
Which, if you're gonna do it, you're gonna do it in that book. But if you wanna do it to where it's like people.
Actually, I would have done it in 12. If I was gonna do it, it would have been in 12. Therefore, you really can't argue it. See, here you got an argument, you know, because it happened in one way in one book, you have it another way in another book. If I wanted to make it so that you really. You know, like with the who attacked first, the X-Men or Avengers? You know, or rather, did the Avengers jump down first or were they attacked? Blah blah blah. I would have done it in 12, where he does the same thing. He comes up against the White Room and something talks to him through it. Then it there leaves no doubt. You know what I mean? So you're not thinking, oh, he's hallucinating.
Yeah.
No, he's talking to her.
Based on having not read Uncanny, just like I said, just from reading 12, I have to go with the assumption that he was losing his mind, being consumed by the Phoenix, and he saw what he wanted to see and heard what he wanted to hear in Jean Grey, the love of his life. I don't think she ever was there. Now, in Kenny, if what you're telling me is true, that the White Room, okay, but she still didn't fit. I don't believe. It's hard for me to
say. Doesn't show.
It doesn't seem like she physically manifested.
No.
So everybody was wrong. So fuck all y'all. I just want to say that. I love y'all. But overall, I really enjoyed this, and seeing Cyclops in chains like a dirty mutant that he is was fun. I'm just kidding. But I thought it was, a nice ending. Like I was telling Taser, I didn't expect the New Mutants to be reborn.
I did.
Or certainly that much, because it looked like a lot. Apparently, I'm the biggest.
Oh yeah, we don't know the scope. We'll see.
Yeah.
I love that Beast is always the first one showing up to gloat or be the one to reprimand. Between this and him calling up Cyclops at the end of Schism to be like, "Ah, I told you so." It's
Beast
always
is kind
Beast.
Of a dick.
He's always
no,
that
he's,
guy.
He's the moral compass.
Yeah, I
and
love
he's
it.
He's been that for a long time. Though.
He's totally even, that. Like when somebody says, "Wait till your father gets home," they're talking about Beast. It's like, oh, when Beast gets back, you were in some shit.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? Dude, that line of dialogue between him and Cyclops, that with Kelsey Grammer's voice. Fucking hilarious.
That's all I hear Beast as is Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, after a while.
Yeah. It's either that or the Wolverine the X-Men Beast from the cartoon, but it flips back and forth.
Actually, I still kind of hear the guy from the X-Men tune, the 90s tune.
Oh, yeah.
I hear that more often than anything in my head.
I don't know how the yell and everything can. But, I mean, as what it is, as an event, as a single issue, it gets a 4 out of 5. As an event, it gets a 4.1 out of 5.
Wow.
But did you think I was going to rate it 5?
No.
Oh, yeah, it's like I've been pretty much open how much I love this series throughout its entirety. I didn't love maybe one or two issues, but from art, from story, from just having fun with it, which I think comics should be about, your enjoyment of the story to each your mileage may vary. I had fun with this, unlike fucking Fear Itself last year, which is I'm not comparing it to Fear Itself, but in terms of like. Sheer enjoyment, this one was a lot of fun. And I look forward to seeing where we're going to go next. Where does this all lead? Where are the X-Men going to go now that Utopia is virtually, it's shut down? Are they going to go all join Wolverine at the school? Or are some going to be... Obviously, we know...
Probably in a concentration camp.
Well, Cable is going to be on the run with Colossus. Emma's wanted. Magneto's wanted. Namor's wanted, even though he's going
to
be with...
What did Magneto do that causes him to be wanted?
He was a sympathizer.
Yeah, that's then, really it.
I would think that before they switched over.
I would think it's because not only is because he's a sympathizer, but he does have a history of choosing of being on the wrong side.
And I think
while even though he did have good intentions toward the end, the whole world doesn't know that. Even though Steve Rogers could pull some strings, and maybe he will, maybe he won't. But I think for Magneto's personal preference, he should probably stay on the down low for a little bit.
That's not going to make a difference, though. This is the second time he's been involved in something that actually affected the planet. And he's already been in front of the world court once.
Yeah.
He's not
a villain though. That's the thing, which I was kind of worried about. They were going to turn him into that, but he's not a bad guy again. He could
not
though.
Here anyway.
No. Eventually, even in what 2 issues ago, he was like, "I made a huge fucking mistake." try saying that in the Ian McKellen in the. Is it Ian McKellen who played?
Yeah,
in the Ian McKellen voice. I made a huge fucking mistake. But yeah, 4.1 out of 5 is a series. 4 out of 5 for this single issue. Great art, great story. I wish we got more Quapel art, though.
I could agree with that.
He only did 3 issues. I was expecting more. But Kubert wasn't bad, especially in this last issue. I would like to see him draw more Marvel stuff. Y'all have anything more to add to AVX number 12?
I'll say.
When's the hypocrisy end? Everybody thought they were right and everybody was wrong.
And how it usually goes?
And vice versa. And I just, the contradictions of this, another one of my big points, and I know, Taze, you guys brought this up as well, and we chatted about it in my house. How can you bitch at Scott for, yes, nearly decimating worlds, and one of his members decimated a whole fucking continent, or a whole nation, rather, and you're ready to slam him in jail, and you invite Wanda to be on your premier Avengers team? Scott did the same thing 5-some-odd years ago. How does that work? How does that work? Not to mention, you were condemning Scott for doing exactly, you know, you're condemning Scott for all of this shit when they, but mind you, when they were going after Wanda in Children's Crusade, you were against it.
I think it's because he has feelings for Wanda.
You what know, I said that very same thing to my roommate. Captain America wants to bone Wanda.
Well, I mean, in the story, Avengers that I've read with Wanda and Captain America on the team, they're very close.
And, oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, friendship-wise, and I think he's gonna want to give her the benefit of the doubt, the fact that she did go crazy.
He wants to give her a benefit, all right.
But the fact is, but when he sees what Scott's doing, he sees it. He doesn't have that close personal tie with the X-Men like he does with Wanda.
I will say the conversation between the two of them at the end was very good.
Yes.
I'll say this. Like I said online, like in my conversation with Corwin, I give that man credit. He held to his argument. Still think he's wrong on quite a few of them, and I've actually proven why, but I give Corwin credit. He held to a good argument. Jay, on the other hand, you need help. But anyway.
You and Jay, y'all stopped arguing about the point of that comic.
Jay, have fun. That was all a good
introduction. But we're getting mutants. We'll see how many mutants we'll get. We'll see how many mutants are actually happy about this and how many are pissed about it.
You know what I want to see with that? I want to see how many Jubilee, whether she's still a mutant and a vampire.
I stopped caring about her when she became a vampire. But yeah, you want to see who still has, if it's any, is it going to be all new mutants or are some previous mutants going to get their powers back?
What I'd like to see, because I could see that, I could see probably that being the case. What the hell happened? You know, I'm stuck out. I'm left out there. People suck. I want my powers back, and then, you know, shit happened and whatever. I think that might be an interesting story to see play out.
Well, we're having technical difficulties, but Arnold, do you have any further points to add to AVX number 12?
No, nothing major that's not gonna drop into long, long, long conversations, because we could really go a lot into depth about this. But on the whole, I would give it a 3.5 out of 5. I would say it had a shiny moment. One of my favorite issues ever is, seeing Spider-Man's front of his face get punched to the back of his head by Colossus. That was also a really good issue. I guess you could call it a heart of the story issue or a heartfelt moment. The issue, but I did really like that one, and it had a lot of shiny moments. I did enjoy it. Costuming aside, you know, I railed off about that. Some of those costumes were terrible. The Namor bit with Wakanda, that I have to say, for me anyway, was easily the most unexpected part of this whole story. I did, you know, there was talk about it, and I knew eventually he was gonna fly off the handle and kind of run off and do his own thing and kind of go rogue, but I didn't think we were gonna decimate a whole nation with, you know, on a whim and just keep it moving. That was just craziness, but I liked it, you know. As you said already, it's definitely better than the last event that we had just come from. So I knew we were going to get some new mutants out of the deal. I think we would have been, I don't want to say cheated, but I would have been really surprised if this ended without reigniting or, you know, without at least a couple of mutants coming back, which essentially, and this can go into a whole other topic, essentially this is why we wanted the Phoenix to come back in the first place, was so we could reignite the mutant race. So I
guess this ending was telegraphed. So yeah,
I'm apparently the biggest moron on this planet because I was like, oh my god, new mutants.
No, yeah, it was obvious. It was obvious it was coming.
I'm a fucking moron.
It's like, the Shocker different. Said in the board. He uh-huh. said this is the perfect bookend to House of M.
Yeah,
you know, and he's right. It fits.
It well, yeah, after so, reading it, but now, like I didn't know that going in.
They put all the right players in place to make it come full circle and for his run to kind of be over on it. I'm really not surprised that that happened. The way that it happened was interesting. And now I see why all throughout the whole storyline coming on, why we brought Wanda back at the time they brought them back and et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, it was cool. I enjoyed it.
Here's the question. How long is Scott Summers going to be off the players, off right. the playing field for right. a while? That's what I want to know.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Well, what do you give it, Adrian?
I gave it a 3.5 out of 5 overall.
See, I can give this issue a 4,
okay.
mainly for its like what the fuckness. But the series in general, yeah, I gotta give it a 2. You know, because this was just like a, hey, let's do shit that's just so out of character all across the board, you know, and while I'm, you know, people look at stuff and holy crap, did you know, this happened and that happened, oh wow, and whatever, excuse me, sore throat. I sat there going, huh? Are you
for all that useless
me?
New Avengers Kunlun tying in Iron Fist bullshit.
Well, that factors in too. That actually lowers it quite
that
a bit.
Three issues of unfucking necessary.
Mm-hmm. Wolverine and the X-Men had the best tie-ins though.
Yeah.
I wasn't touching that. Sorry. So yeah, I give this issue, the final issue, I give it a 4, but the series in general, yeah, a 2.
Yeah, compare this to our episode where we talked about Fear Itself 7 and Fear Itself as a whole. This is much more optimistic. But now we close this. And I also want to say to all the people, and there were very few, but the people who were saying, oh, it's going to reboot the Marvel Universe. It didn't reboot the Marvel Universe.
It did, kind of.
It really didn't, though. Everybody was expecting a Flashpoint kind of ending.
Oh, well, that's, yeah. Okay,
yeah, I'm talking about, like, new. They were expecting that kind of ending. But it didn't happen. It rebooted some things, you're right, but it wasn't like...
Agreed.
It wasn't Flashpoint. So fuck you, you were wrong. I love doing that. I'm sorry.
He's venting, folks. He's venting.
I'm sorry. When you want to buy something and it's not the price and you're wrong about it, I want to tell you that, but I also want to keep my job. So I'm just going to... I hope that nothing happens to you personally, but I hope your car breaks down.
Somebody loves working in retail.
You deal with it. Anyway, so let's circle kind of right into AVX, the last AVX tie-in, or one of the last two, with Uncanny X-Men, number 19, Mr. Arn Alfred. What happened in that book?
Uncanny X-Men, as it was nicely called, it takes place concurrently or simultaneously with AVX number 12. This is more of you getting Cyclops' point of view on this whole side of things, or as the issue likes to call it, the passion of Scott Summers, because apparently he's Jesus now. and you see his whole thought process and kind of essentially his life flashing before his eyes kind of deal, and him seeing all of the choices he's made and all the people he's come in contact with, and having his whole internal monologue and kind of almost being outside of himself, and even everything up to the point of him killing Xavier. Highlight of the issue is we get a nice panel, because what would an issue be without Wolverine stabbing a Phoenix? And with this one, he stabs Scott right through the fucking face.
He did that in AVX.
Huh?
He did that right in AVX. Also,
but unless you, it's like, you know, it's a smaller panel, but it's just Wolverine and Cyclops right there, close up, right through that. Brutal shit. Bravo. I'm sure Wolverine enjoyed that more than he should have, and probably as much as he should have as well. But yeah, you know, you can see it. He gets that breakdown moment, or as Taser said before, he enters that kind of white room area and hears Jean talking to him. Obviously, the jury's still out as to whether or not it was actually Jean or whether he was imagining it as all part of his internal monologue and reflective moment. And as most Phoenixes, he gets that kind of moment of clarity where he's, you know, he realizes that everything that he's doing is wrong, or he pleads for someone to kill him, et cetera, et cetera. My highlight for me was more the last couple of pages of the issue. As I mentioned before, with Beast kind of showing up for the final reprimand, and he's having a conversation with Cyclops, who is handcuffed and has what I'm assuming is a special visor, because it's going completely around his head. Should this prevent him from using his powers at all? I'm curious as to why they gave him back the visor to begin with, if they didn't want him using his powers. That, I feel like that probably would have nipped that in the bud. But yeah, I'm really confused as to what that thing's supposed to be. But the conversation between the two of them is really good. And, you know, of course, with, well within reason, Beast is thoroughly upset about the loss of Xavier, and Scott still at the other, on the other hand, once he finds out that there are new mutants being, that are popping up all over the place, he feels justified, you know. He flat out says that he doesn't deny that what he did was horrible, and that he killed off Xavier and is unforgivable, but if he could switch places with him, he would do it in a heartbeat. But at the same time, we have a bunch of new mutants, so we got what we wanted anyway, or we got what I should have done when I got my hands on the Phoenix powers in the first place, which should have been brought up during Avengers versus X-Men number 12. But this was all right. It was good. It really, it didn't necessarily add more to the story. It was just a different perspective. And then at the end of it, you got a conversation with Beast and Cyclops as opposed to a conversation with Cap and Cyclops. And, you know, both of those conversations had to happen anyway. I wonder if we're going to get, I'm sure we're going to get a Wolverine-Cyclops confrontation conversation about it as well, and I'm sure that one's probably going to be more fist flailing than anything else. If Wolverine even gets the opportunity to do that. It was cool. Like I said, it didn't add that much extra. It was just good to see it from the main person's perspective and what was going on in Scott's mind and all that kind of jazz. Again, like it's 3 out of 5 for this one. It was Gillen. The Uncanny tie-in, Uncanny in general, has not been anything exciting for me. AVX didn't help in that regard either, especially when they tried to tie in plot points from the beginning of Uncanny X-Men, but make that make sense in the AVX stuff that was going on in terms of everything with Sinister. It's just all kind of blah, and the issue is just, okay, so I'll give it it's middle of the road, so I will give it a middle of the road score. It'll get a 3 out of 5. The art was pretty. Eaglesham does some great art, and I do enjoy that.
Alright, well,
you know what? One thing I want to ask, in both issues, we see Cyclops with, like, some funky, weird headgear, so he doesn't, you know, get around how his typical goggles work,
right,
and blast somebody and effect an escape, right?
Right.
Okay, why didn't they just use Stark Tech? Take the power away.
Who knows?
We had that issue was brought up, they used it in, that was part of one of the main plots in, Avengers Academy. That technology's still there. We know he's being held by S.H.I.E.L.D., which means that Tony Stark is involved. Hello, dose of Stark nanobots. Power's gone.
Does it work with mutants?
Yes.
But it's the same reason why we have image inducers running around, but Ben Grimm's still crying about the fact that he has to walk around like a big orange slab of rock. It's like, you know, the tech is around.
I want
to
help you, Ben. Oh, I'm already pissed.
Well, see, you know, with Ben, all right, with image inducers and Ben, that's kind of, you know, I could kind of see
look
this
one way, you feel another way. I understand.
Yeah,
that.
But here, man,
this monster,
you know, this just takes away his powers, you know, and just leave his ass in handcuffs.
Right.
I would have done that. Taking his powers away. Yeah, because with him still wearing, like, some funky ruby goggles, that still empowers him, you know, because he's like, I could still get out of here if I figure something out. But
right.
You do something where he has no ability to affect anything in that way. That's a bigger punishment to me. You know, that would have made a better statement. That would have been a bigger smack. That's when he... You know, fine, whatever. But I would have liked to have seen it.
All right. Well. Well.
Go ahead.
From one event to another to a mini event. I'm reviewing Minimum Carnage Alpha Number 1, which, according to Taser, not have anything to do with the Alpha character showing up in Amazing Spider-Man. this is the crossover between where Flash Thompson Venom meets Kane Scarlet Spider for the first time ever as their personas. If you have the augmented reality app or the Marvel AR app, this cover has it. And if you hold it up to the cover, it basically covers the cover with a bunch of mini carnages. It's just kind of pretty. It's not much, but it's pretty cool. And so basically the story is Cletus Kasady, the symbiote who I hate the most, has is in jail, and something has busted him out, and Agent Venom has been dispatched to deal with the situation. Because he apparently works with the government, and he knows more about the symbiotes than the Venom symbiote himself. So meanwhile, you have Cletus Kasady trying to escape, wreaking unwholesome murder on the way through. Apparently, Flash is dating or hanging out with a reporter who works for a tabloid magazine. I didn't know about this. Apparently, that was some of the new things since I've left the book. But
yeah, it's going on in Venom.
Meanwhile. You have Kane Scarlet Spider, who is still in Houston, which is still pretty cool. I'm not going to lie, despite them not reading the book anymore. And he discovers upon a very grisly murder of an old woman who I believe is she's been sliced to bits. It's never shown, but like you see like fingers, like wounds and blood dripping, and it's an elderly lady.
Diced up old lady!
And,
yahoo!
And Kane is like, what the hell is going on? And convincingly enough, it cuts to at the Lyndon B. Johnson Space Center, which I've been to. It's really cool. You can clearly spot Cletus Kasady because you know if you're gonna, he can use the symbiote as clothes, so he wears he's clearly the guy wearing the red jacket. And Carnage makes his appearance. And Kane references that he's seen him, but Carnage probably doesn't remember him. But it looks like he gets to try to kill him again, and it's Carnage. And he thinks it's Spider-Man with a new costume, but he realizes, oh, you're not Spider-Man. And he kind of talks like you know, it sounds like the Carnage that I knew. And it turns out Carnage is being helped out by these tiny people. Really, really small, micro-tiny people. I'm not going to say
Smurfs. For
them. No, they're not blue. Well, one of them is. Yeah, one of them is in blue armor. But, so they're basically toying with he's basically toying with Scarlet Spider, and he takes both the women as hostages into I want to say it's not the Microverse but a smaller universe. It could be the Microverse through the Prometheus Pit, and basically these tiny people have agreed to bust Carnage out. If the deal was that he gets a fresh start in life, that he gets left alone. And of course you can't, and he could have untold of worlds to murder and nobody would be in his way. And of course you know, none of them can have that. So Kane tries to stop him. He gets into the Prometheus pit, and the last panel ends with, Kane fucking pissed off his mind. I'm going to kill you. And a full-page spread of Venom telling Scarlet Spider, get down on the ground and put your hands on your head, and just Kane looking with the spider mask, kill you. So there you go. That's the first issue for Minimum Carnage number one, setting the stage. It looks like both Scarlet Spider and Venom will be fighting each other in the next issue, as typical superheroes do. And, well, they're not really. Well, Kane isn't a superhero, but, and they're going to be following Carnage into a smaller universe to try to take him down. I thought it was very average. I wasn't expecting much, but I thought, you know, it did what it did. It set the players. It was more of if you haven't been reading the books, here's Venom, here's his deal. Here's Carnage, here's his deal in one page. Here's Scarlet Spider, here's his deal. Here's how they connect in these three or four pages, and now here's how they come together in these two or three pages. It was really much of a primer. I know, Arnold, you were asking, should you pick it up? I would honestly just keep reading the books you were reading.
Yeah.
I would just, like, if you want to pick it up out of curiosity, you can, and see what it looks like. But I would just flip through the store, and I think you can pretty much get what's going on if you pick up the next issue of Scarlet Spider, which is part two.
Okay.
And go from there. But I will say it's going to be, if you're going to follow the storyline, which I don't know if I am, but it's going to be, it starts in this little one shot, which I say it's skippable, then Scarlet Spider 10, then Venom 26, then Scarlet Spider 11, and then Venom 27, and then it all ends in Minimum Carnage Omega, which is the closing chapter.
I essentially only need two books that I don't normally collect.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm already collecting the other two anyway, so it's not that bad. That's where my biggest issue is, if it's worth picking up the other two bookends.
I would think Omega is going to be more important.
Right.
Considering it's the conclusion. But in terms of this, it's very, I think it was more for people who have not been reading Scarlet Spider or Venom.
Right.
And like, okay, here's the, even though you've heard of these characters before, they're not the same that you remember.
Right.
So I would say don't pick it up if you've been reading the books all along or if you're familiar with these characters. But if you've never read Scarlet Spider or this iteration of Scarlet Spider and Venom, pick this up. Great introduction to these characters. Very fun, very entertaining. And it's, you know, I never thought I would say this, but I like the book with Carnage in it. Who knew? But I give it a 3 out of 5. It did its job. Nothing special. But I don't know if I'm going to continue with the story. I'll give the next issue a shot, but we'll have to see from there. And Taser sitting this one out because there was nothing else to talk about. So let's go right into a topic that Taser thought of, which is basically what if issues. For those of you who don't know, basically Marvel, what, in the 80s? Late 80s? Early, mid to late?
Actually, it would have been, I think, late 70s.
Late 70s. Line of books, which you can call them Elseworlds, but they're not really because they're not a universe. It's just like, what if the story went this way? Basically, what if is the premise. Like, what if a certain point in a character did this instead of this? Some of the classics, like, what if Spider-Man joined the Fantastic Four? What if Captain America became president? Taser, you can name some more.
Oh, let's see. What ifs? Well, you got what if Spider-Man joined the Fantastic Four. You also, what if Galactus had devoured Earth? That was a very scary one. You got the
what if Aunt May had died?
Yeah, what if Aunt May had died instead of Uncle Ben?
I have that one.
You got the what if Korvac had beaten the Avengers? What was another one? What if Wolverine became the Lord of Darkness? Basically, when they went up against a vampire, I think it was Dracula, and in the fight, Wolverine became, I think he got bitten. His healing factor kind of kept him from just becoming a thrall of Dracula, and he ends up killing him, and he becomes the Lord of Darkness. Oh, what was another one? Crap. Now that you're asking me, I'm blanking. Damn you to hell. there've been a few though. There have been a whole lot of running.
All right, well, there's a several lists of what-if titles. What if War Machine had not destroyed the Living Laser? What if, you know, it was also the introduction of Spider-Girl, for those who don't remember that. Apparently that was introduced to her. What if Dark Phoenix, apparently where Jean Grey doesn't commit suicide but submits to lobotomy, removes her powers.
I didn't read that. I'd heard of that one, but I didn't read that one.
A lot of characters were killed off. You know, what if had some fine stories, and unfortunately, I haven't read a lot of them. I've only read a couple of them, but I did. I'm not a fan of them, and I can say that, but I did read. I've read more of the modern stuff. I think one of the first ones I bought was like What If Civil War, and it came out about a year after the event ended, and basically there was one where the army or SHIELD basically creates like Thor, not clones of Thor, but like people with Thor abilities, and they just fucking wreck everybody. They kill everybody.
That pretty much came true now. I think there was one. I think back in the day with what if General Ross became the Hulk instead, which is pretty much going on now.
So yeah, yeah. The funny thing is like what you know. There's also like an instance where there's a what if like another what if where Tony Stark. I think he died. What a Civil War in that story, and that before Civil War even starts, Tony Stark dies at the hands of a character called Malin, who he was fighting in his own book at the time, and instead of living through the extremist augmentation, he dies. And so now there's only Captain America to oppose it, and the Shield, and of course there's nobody to lead the superheroes in the Superhero Registration Act on the government side, so Henry Peter Gyrich takes over that team, and it basically leads them to creating augmented sentinels to take over, to take down the heroes, and everybody dies. Basically, that's how the Civil War stories ended.
There was one. What if Mary Jane had died, and basically, it makes Peter all dark, and he ends up getting what was it? Spy training from Black Widow, and was it Nick Fury? It was some spy guy. I forgot who it was. And he actually manages to force Peter into tapping deeper into his spider powers, so much so that his spider sense becomes like a future prediction sense, you know? And he becomes somewhat, what do you call that? He becomes psychic. You know, kind of like Madam Web, but scarier. You know, he knows things that you're... He not only knows things that's going to happen,
Well, there's another one that I remembered, which is What If Karen Page Had Lived? Which, of course, if you read Kevin Smith's Daredevil run, he killed her off, so that would have been interesting. What happened if she lived? I never heard the story, but and of course, what if Jessica Jones had joined the Avengers? And all, there's a lot of what ifs. And apparently, it's always Uatu, the Watcher, who always introduced it. But I would say, if you can find the collection cheap, because I think the collection's like $30 for like the classic ones. So if you can find them, they're interesting stories, and it's always nice to see, you know, twists on a character's origin, you know, over and over again. So, Arnie, you got anything to add to this conversation?
No, not really. Anything else? I kind of interjected with some that I remember. It's been a while since I've read a What If. I think it's been a while since they put out a lot of them. But yeah, I mentioned a couple here and there, like the one I remember about Uncle Ben and the one about General Ross. I knew there was some What Ifs during, I think they even for some reason or another did What Ifs for House of M, I think.
Yeah.
Which is kind of odd to do a What If for an alternate universe kind of deal, but, I even forget what some of those were. I know there was one dealing with Tony Stark. I know there was one dealing with Spider-Man.
What if the other? You know, I never.
There is what if there. Yeah, there was one or two what if the others. Wasn't there one surrounding Norman Osborn for a while too, or something about Secret Invasion?
There was what if Secret Invasion. There was what if Dark Reign. You know.
Right. I think there was just a whole what if Secret Invasion period.
I'm pretty sure we can expect a what if AVX.
Yeah, you think so? Well, we didn't get one for Fear itself.
Well, because it sucked.
Well, yeah, I guess there's that.
Plus, I think there's really not much of a what if you can do with Fear itself. What if the guy won? I can't even remember his name now. But it's much more interesting. What if Cyclops had beaten the Avengers?
Right. Or you know, what if he reignited mutants? And you know, there's a couple what ifs you could actually bang out from that. What if Hope actually harnessed the Phoenix Force the first time?
Yeah, see, now that would be the interesting one. You know, that's the one I can't wait to see. It'll most likely
Or, you know, what if Wanda became the host instead, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I would love to see what if Rob Liefeld never worked for Marvel Comics?
Well, that's happening now!
I would have always loved to have seen, like, I don't know, they probably did this, like, what if Cable never went to the future? Like, what if Cable never got the techno-organic virus, and he just grew up normal? You know, had that, you know. What if Wolverine never got the adamantium claws? This is us talking about, like...
Have they done something like that?
I'm pretty sure they have.
Something like that. No, you know what?
But, I think they've done... I would love to see what if, I'm pretty sure they did, like, what if Gwen Stacy had lived? Like he saved her. Because I think that would be interesting. What if their relationship turns to worse because she can't date him? Because you put my life in too much danger. You know, what if Thanos had won and he had the Infinity Gauntlet or something like that? Or, I can't think of anything else.
I think you've covered a lot of good ones.
You know? Yeah, I mean, you know. Oh, these ones I'm thinking of, like, you know, ones I would like to see or would like to read about.
Yeah.
You know, what if the Fantastic Four didn't get cosmic rays? They would all die of cancer.
They did some version of that story.
Yeah. You know? I mean, there was also, before, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. I think there was a mini-series. It's not called What If, but a mini-series that JMS did back in 2007 and 8. It's called Bullet Points. And basically, it's an alternate reality story where a single bullet changed the Marvel Universe in the fact that Abraham Erskine, the creator of the Super Soldier Serum, was killed before he could give the Super Soldier Serum to Steve Rogers.
Oh, I remember hearing about this. Yeah,
and in that crossfire, Uncle Ben also died.
Yeah.
So Peter grows up, you know, in the 60s, an angry out kid, and I don't want to say what he becomes, but it's kind of like, oh, okay. But if you're interested in alternate reality Marvel stories, Bullet Points by J. Michael Straczynski, it's a really good one. It has great art, too. So with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap the show. You can follow us at twitter.com/WordCPcast. Send us an email. Well, if you send us a question, you can at thewordstreet@gmail.com. Arnold takes care of our Facebook page. And Arnold, where can the fine people meet you at the New York Comic Con this weekend?
Yes, I will be all about at New York Comic Con. I'll be there for the whole weekend, pretty much. If you're around on Saturday, look for the guy in the Ends of the Earth Spider-Man cosplay. That will be me. I will also be periodically setting up and breaking down and working at a booth called Anthony's Comic Book Art. They actually represent and sell art from people like Phil Jimenez and Isad Ribic, who I met at San Diego Comic Con. Really nice guy. He's going to be writing some, or rather drawing some books. And isn't he doing I think he's doing, just recently doing Thor. And he's going to be doing, I'm not sure what he's got coming up next, but I know he is part of the whole Marvel Now
project. Yeah, he's going to be the new Thor artist. He was on Ultimates for a while.
Okay, yeah, so he's going into Thor now. So yeah, check it out, Anthony's Comic Book Art. I would give you the booth number, I don't recall it now. I'll throw it up on the boards at some point or on the Facebook page, etc. But
I'll
yeah,
throw it up on the Twitter once I get a hold of it.
Shout out, yeah, look for our flyers, but I will be there. It would be good times. It is sold out, folks. It's going to be the shit.
Yeah, and obviously, before we go, check out my other show that I also do, which is the RPG show. We just released an episode today, which we talked about Shadow of the Colossus, Heavy Rain, and much Borderlands 2, and much, much more. So be sure to, if you like video games and you want to hear us talk about video games, talk about that. It's me, Mr. Dragon, and Brian, who's not here today, but we all talk about video games, talk about Remastered Halo, and much, much more. Also, I believe that is everything for tonight. We will see y'all in 2 weeks when Marvel Now will be officially underway with Uncanny Avengers number 1, which will be our book of the week. See y'all next week.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look way down the river, And what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down.